This is Rewired Radio with Erica Spiegelman, addiction and wellness specialist, motivational speaker, and author, helping individuals, couples, and families regain a sense of control, leading to personal growth, wellness, and a more fulfilling life. Here's Erica Spiegelman.
Welcome, everybody. Rebuilding after trauma is no small task, but it is so necessary if you want to reclaim your life. My guest today, Dr. Danielle Delaney, is the award-winning author of the new book, Expect Delays, How to Reclaim Your Life, Light, and Soul After Trauma. Danielle will share a unique perspective about healing from deep trauma using imagery from driving and construction, as well as talk about her own journey and how it has inspired her and helped others rebuild and reclaim their lives after trauma. My beautiful friend, Dr. Danielle Delaney, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so delighted to be here. Thank you, Erica.
Well, we're happy to have you back. You were one of my first guests when Rewired Radio started, and so
right.
It's an honor, and I'm so proud of you, and this book is incredible, and what an amazing gift to give back. It's such a full circle story. So I just wanted to start with that, and if you could tell us a little bit about how this book has come to life and how it is full circle for you.
Okay, I will tell you all about that. I really, truly felt a responsibility to write it. And I've been so excited. I'm excited that you're excited, and thank you. It's an honor to be here. My book, just last week, it won an award, the Trauma and Crisis Intervention Education Award, for a program in Canada that it speaks with authorities on varying topics. So I'm just so excited and proud of it, and I truly felt this responsibility. Thank you, because it's just, you know, more info about it, by the way, is just a click away. It's at expectdelaysbook.com. And I decided to write it because of my experiences. You know the story, but others might not. Mm-hmm. I was taken, quite literally, like Liam Neeson taken, kidnapped, mm-hmm. and assaulted and raped. And I really had to learn, this is over a decade ago, but the approaches that I learned to take to heal were trial and error. And while I enjoy some really great reviews from clients on my LinkedIn and my website, you know, telling me that I've helped them and that they feel really understood, that's more ego, and I don't need that. It's just not what I need. I love to help them, but mm-hmm. I felt like although that's satisfying, I want to help others know more about it by writing a roadmap to healing, and that was my way to this book. I just really felt it was necessary.
And it is necessary, and it's such a beautiful way to actually make people feel that they're not alone and to not minimize their trauma. And, you know, I mean, there's so many different probably waves of emotions people go through, and there's so many different kind of traumas. So can you speak to that too? I know we have many listeners that have been through trauma. And, you know, I think a lot of us do tend to minimize and, you know, shove it under the rug, or we think we're okay. And can you speak to why it is important that we need to actually deal with it? Yeah.
Yes, because if you don't, that's so important. That's a great question, Erica, because people who don't deal with it, it comes out sideways. You can't run from yourself. You can't run and hide from yourself. And I have a chapter in the book actually called Slippery When Wet that deals with the aftercare that people need for trauma. But what they need to do actually is stop self-medicating. There's nothing that a drink or a drug won't make worse, actually. But it seems like such a good idea to reach for that. And there's another chapter called Falling Rocks. And it's when you need to swerve, because some of those falling rocks can be friends and family that are well-meaning, but even doctors who may prescribe something that can be misused, but they don't intend it to be that way. But they want to hand you jumper cables to use more driving imagery, but they're very complicated and tangled, and you don't know what to do with that prescription, and you may misuse that prescription. And it's just, it's mm-hmm. really imperative that people figure out exactly what's going to work for them. And my number one suggestion is to reach for counseling. There's so many mm-hmm. kinds of trauma. It can be a natural disaster. It can be a breakup. It can be, a heartbreak can be something really traumatic for one person that isn't for someone else. Or it can be something like this, like rape and kidnap and being almost murdered. Or it can be something like a loss of a loved one mm-hmm. and grieving, or a change mm-hmm. in, you know, life stage transitions, divorce. So traumatic things are really kind of in the eye of the beholder. So I'd say the audience for the book is just about everyone, because we all have trauma, or we all love someone who has trauma in their life.
Absolutely.
And it's how to help.
Absolutely.
How to cope.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I just wanted to what I always love to discuss with my audience and my clients is that, you know, the trauma is when your nervous system is dysregulated, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, if we're all wired differently, then, you know, like a trauma of, you know, let's say your parents being divorced when you were young, you know, or an assault of some kind. I mean, we're all wired so differently. So the way that our nervous system responds to these life experiences and life events could be very different, where one person, you know, my grandfather was in the war and got, I mean, I know a lot of traumatic things happen. He just has, you know, pulled his pants up and marches on in life and doesn't, you know, and hasn't really those experiences, you know, like some people of his generation don't come out in obvious ways. I'm sure it has affected his life. But that's what I mean, is that everybody endures these life events in different ways. So it's really right. It's really important to kind of know yourself and not feel ashamed for needing help. Right.
Right. And that's part of why I wrote it, is that a lot of victims of violent crime and sex crimes as well can feel very, very self-conscious about discussing it. There's that victim blaming, victim shaming, and the same with other instances. I have friends who were in that Tennessee fire just months ago, and they're traumatized. They're experiencing PTSD. You sometimes don't know when that's coming on until a few months later. It takes a few months for that to present. So a lot of people will just think they're okay. And like you said, with your grandfather, it's also generational. You know, they handled things differently that way. I have a client who was in the Japanese interim camps, and she hoards. And when some people do something, it is the trauma coming out sideways because it hasn't been dealt with. And
so behaviors are reflective.
Yeah, different behaviors, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And people need to feel open and free to discuss what's happened to them and that it is not their fault. That is one thing I stress over and over. It doesn't matter if something happened to you more than once. It's just as much not your fault as it is to have been struck by lightning, I should say, more than once. It's just anything can happen. This is life. And sometimes we need to take a detour, change lanes, and realize that we need help and that it's okay to talk about this. And that's how you heal. That's how you get to the other side. Can't go around, can't go over. You have to go through.
Right, exactly. And what's interesting, which I love and you talk about in the book, is also around the behaviors, you know, like, but to have the awareness that I think all of our behaviors across the board, whether anyone's listening that thinks they've had an obvious trauma or hasn't, but what all of our behaviors, the way we trust people, the way we react, the way we run away from relationships, all of that usually has to do, right, with some kind of experience. And some of these, and most of our experiences have a tad bit of trauma around them, maybe, you know?
Right. There's a history there, whether it's childhood trauma, whether it's something recent, whether, like I said, it could be a terrible breakup, or it could be a horrifying loss. I knew a woman who woke up next to her childhood sweetheart, and he had had a heart attack in the night. And she has terrible PTSD from that. And it's about the different modalities that you can, you know, work with and find practitioners that can help you in order to cope with these traumas. But they are as varied as we are as people. And I have an app that's a companion to the book that'll be coming out within the next 6 to 8 months. And I'll talk more about that another time. But it's so that people can find the help that they need. I patented this app because it's important for people to be able to find support for trauma worldwide. You know, everyone's lost when they go through these things. They don't know what to do and where to reach, and I want them to be able to do it at a touch of a button.
That is so incredible. I'm so excited to see it and to use it and to learn more about it. So, you know, you talk about, well, first of all the chapters have really, you know, cool names and kind of themes about them. But also you talk about imagery a lot. And so just, can you tell everybody how, I mean, I personally, just to let everyone know, I personally have used, you know, guided imagery meditations for a long time. That's helped me relax and unwind and envision and create intentions and things like that. Can you speak to like how you've in the book, you do talk about how imagery is helpful.
Imagery is helpful to me because I think it's helpful for clients, for myself, for everyone. Signs are everywhere in life, and I decided to use the signs in a literal way. That expect delays actually came to be because I was sitting in traffic, and you know how there's that flashing sign, and you're already in the delay? You're immobilized in traffic, and it says expect delays, and you think, yeah, I'm in the delay. And in life, we're just all trying to get from A to B. We're all trying to go somewhere, and we get stuck in traffic.
I love the title.
Thank you. It's the traffic of life. And I want people to think of it when they see that flashing sign that delays are to be expected and it's okay. Mm-hmm. Some things don't have to be at warp speed. Some things like healing, you need to take your time. And that's why I use literal signs and imagery like that, because demolition is using construction imagery. It's when you're totaled and then tow away zones and no exit. That's suicidal ideation, places that you do not want to stop. You know, your life is worth more than this. And then merge is when you can integrate it into who you are, the experience into who you are. So I find guided imagery and guided meditation very helpful. And I actually talk about your book, Rewired, in my book. And I thank you as the
so
colleague
cool.
who
thank
has
you. I know.
You've most inspired and most rewired me.
Oh,
and I
sweet.
Just kind of had to say that there because I love what you do. And I think guided
thank
imagery
you,
and guided meditation and looking for signs and using those signs to redirect you is a perfect way to start. I really do.
Well, I really appreciate that. And I know, I mean, we have to start, you know, collaborating and merging even more, you and I, too, because I really feel like it's so everything you've ever done is so parallel to, you know, everyone knows I'm in the more addiction, a drug and alcohol kind of world. But there's so many parallels to healing in terms of creating a new identity in that way. And then also create a new identity after trauma, too, because you're not the victim anymore. You know, it's like I think there's just it's all one and the same. And,
it
and
is.
I know that.
It is.
Right. And so
That's why I do both. I'm mm-hmm. a doctor of theology because of the existential questions that arose for me mm-hmm. about why
yeah.
me. And what
Incredible.
Next, and the spiritual component of that, of how your soul is injured by trauma, it really is, regardless of what the trauma is. And mm-hmm. then while I was working in the field of sex crimes and victims of violent crime and molestation and all of that, everyone was self-medicating that would call the hotlines or that would come to see the forensic nurses while I was doing an internship. And I realized mm-hmm. I needed to go back in. And so now I work with aftercare for addiction and recovery because it's a complete overlap. So we've always had that parallel because I
yes.
work in that area too, because it's the,
yes,
it's one and the same. It's always rooted
yeah.
in trauma more often
mm-hmm.
than not.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's how I met you is within that, in that realm. And I know that, you know, especially as you know, when people are recovering and from a drug addiction or any kind of dark period in their lives and creating a new identity and seeing themselves as empowered and not as a victim. And instead of feeling shame, feeling pride and courage that you're able to look these things in the eye, it really does shift your whole life in such incredible ways. Can you just share your own personal experience of doing that yourself, of how you really stepped out of, you know, the pain of your experience and really saw that as how can I empower? Because I just think it's so inspirational. And
thank
I know
you.
That there's a lot of people out there that are trying to figure out a way to do that and yet feel stuck.
Yes, you're absolutely right. They do. And I want to help with that. And my personal story, happy to share it. It's it was a lot of drinking was going on because who wants to be in their head? You know, and think about what happened to them and what they said.
Right.
It's never silent when you're being assaulted. They're laughing, mm-hmm. they're talking, there's things that trigger you. And every time I was triggered, I turned to substances. And I realized mm-hmm. that had to stop if I was going to go anywhere in my life and that I didn't want them
right.
to win. So for me, it was they were effectively murdering me and stealing my light and my soul and my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized instead of being my spirit being broken, I was kind of broken open. My soul was broken open. And I decided I wanted to talk to other people about it at a speak out event. And then I started speaking at universities about it. And I realized people really related to me. And that's where I really felt the shift. It was really a spiritual shift where I felt a need to talk about it, not in a pathological, obsessive sort of way, but in a way of I really feel the need to help. And I did it with television for a while. I helped a woman on Dexter, a character who played his sister, to I would do consulting for shows on media or for the news to let them know what that would be like or what it feels like to have PTSD, to have rape trauma syndrome, to do that. And I still do that, but I thought I needed to do it on a larger scale, not just for media, but for people one-on-one. And that's when I went back. I had my psych degree, but I went back to work with the sex crime victims and survivors. And then that got into me into addiction and recovery, since that slippery slope, that slippery when wet chapter I write about, is so
mm-hmm.
prevalent. You know, it's just almost universal when people go through trauma that they tend to self-medicate and want to come through the other side quickly by not
mm-hmm.
dealing with it. And that's exactly
mm-hmm.
what not to do. So that's mm-hmm. that's kind of where it all originated. It originated with my trauma and then with realizing that my voice helps. And
mm-hmm.
and I want my voice to help. And by the way, I do that through my other website, which is DelangerousProductions.com. It's dangerous mixed with Delaney. So it's DELANGEROUS, Delangerous productions.com. Cool. But I love to do that, public speaking and helping on a larger scale to let people know what they can do.
Yes, and you are you shine on every platform. So I mean that's who you are. That's what you know. And it's funny. That's what you're meant to do. But you know that's why sometimes we're meant to go through these experiences. I mean, as crazy as that may sound to some people, I mean that's just my belief system. In order to help others, in order to set us on a trajectory we never thought, in order to fulfill a purpose. Like, you know, that's why I really try to tell people when they're sitting in like the marinating in like the heart of their pain to kind of see it in that way, because you never know where your pain could propel you. And our pain and suffering isn't really here to keep us stuck. It's here so that we can learn and we can actually move forward and grow and use it. And that's the most important part.
Yes. And to make changes, that you can swerve, that you can take a detour, that you can take a different exit, that you don't have to, you're not married to that job. You're not married to that trauma. You're not married to that location. If you need to move and live by the beach instead, or you need to move and live in another state, there's life changes and you can change with your life changes. And I think that's such a powerful thing that you said, that it's, you know, for people to really realize that those traumas aren't there for you to sit and marinate and be miserable. Marinate in your misery. That's a recipe for relapse, isn't it? And it's just to propel you forward. I think that's beautifully put. Perfectly said.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it's just, I've seen it so much. And also, and you know, talking about a Band-Aid, it's like when you talked about, you know, your own experience with drinking, and I think a lot of us don't even realize that sometimes emotional eating or drinking or I have someone who's an online shopper, and all these things are distractions really from the pain or from a trauma or from, you know, something. So really, if there's some kind of, I urge everybody, if there's some kind of, you know, habit or pattern that they're seeing that's causing, you know, their quality of life to be affected in a negative way, then we really need to look at it and look at why it's serving us and, you know, why we, you know, why we've created the habit.
Exactly.
I think that's also important. Yeah.
Exactly. It's so important. And I would love people to get this book because I also have a different perspective than most on forgiveness and the individuality of our spirituality and our soul.
Let's talk about that. Yeah. Let's talk about that part of the book. So just a little bit on forgiving yourself, forgiving others. I think that's such a powerful thing to discuss, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank you. I believe in forgiving yourself first and foremost, but I have a different, I call it the forgiveness fallacy, that there's this well often spoken of, I should say, and widespread belief that you have to forgive the perpetrator, you have to forgive this in order for healing to begin. And I don't believe that that's the case. And theologically and with my interfaith studies, I just don't believe that's the case for everyone. And it can be very misguiding. And I've had a lot of clients really troubled by that, oh, I have to forgive, I have to do this, I can't seem to do it. It's not your healing isn't tied to anyone else or forgiving any situation. It's tied to yourself and what you do next. And you can think of that them or that event or whatever it is in any way that you choose. But I don't condone people having to feel and being compelled to feel that they must do that. So I call it the forgiveness fallacy. And there's more about that in the book.
Yes, there is. And I'm so happy that you do address that, because I think that is one of like the biggest things that no one discusses is what is forgiveness. And I think when we don't address it, it just could creep in your life and create a lot of resentments and a lot of pain. So I'm happy. Yeah. And so, and also I know you give people kind of tips and tools of how to get out of feeling stuck, just in your life in general, or even process of healing. I mean, there's so many great tips and tools for everybody. And I think that just, you know, you understanding, because you've done so much work with people, in terms of not just like the big traumas, but pretty much every little trauma in between, you could really understand that, you know, everyone is different and everyone's individual. And that's what I've always loved about you. And this book speaks to people like that. You're not lumping everyone in one category. It's for the individual.
Right.
And everybody is different. And so you speak to that. Which I think is so important. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I would love.
Because I feel
people
like a lot of people. A lot of people don't feel seen. You know, they feel like, oh, I'm just another victim.
Or survivor of a crime, and they don't feel that individualized care and their own individuality. And I would love for people to follow me through that journey by going to expectdelaysbook.com, by following me on Instagram, which is Danny, D-A-N-I, Delaney, and Twitter, I'm It's Danny Delaney. And I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn under Danielle Delaney Counseling, Inc. And I'm also on my website, which is DanielleDelaneyCounseling.com. So I'm reachable everywhere, and I really am passionate about helping people through this, and I hope that people will get this book and the spirit it's intended, in which it's intended, which is really expect the delays. They're there, and just accept mm-hmm. them and move forward.
You know what's funny? When I first heard the title, I was like, oh my gosh, it reminds me of M. Scott Peck wrote a book, The Road Less Traveled, and the opening line is, it's something to the effect of like, life is hard.
Exactly.
And you know, like, and it's like, he explains kind of, and I read this many years ago, but I remember it was kind of refreshing because he's like, once you understand this, then you're not afraid of it. You know, it's like, once you understand that struggle is okay, and that making, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh is another great mentor of mine who wrote the book You Are Here, is a great Zen Buddhist master. He always says, like, hug your pain, hug your shame, hug your sadness, you know, make it your friend. And instead of like resisting all the time. And I feel like that's kind of within your title of Expect Delays. I feel like you're saying something to that effect.
Thank you, because you're right. That's exactly what I'm saying. The delays are there. Expect them. There's a flashing sign on the freeway. You're in the delay. Stop swimming upstream. You're in the delay, and it's okay to be in the delay. And some things do take time. It's such instant gratification in our society, you know? And that's where the self-medicating comes in, too. People think, well, I'm in a delay. Let me drink my way through this so that it's already tomorrow. Well, tomorrow you can either be different or you can be the same. And if you expect the delay and work with it instead of against it, you're golden. You're really going to get somewhere a lot faster if you just sort of expect it, anticipate it, and work with it instead of against it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think when you're saying, you know, I was going to ask you how long did it take you to really heal? But I think that's an ongoing process, and we do create delays if we then fall into a drinking habit, or we another delay if we fall into 10 years of a drug habit, or
exactly.
You know, I mean, that's the thing too. Is I just urging everyone, and I think Danielle could agree with this, that's what happens to everybody if we don't face things. We create delays in our lives, and it's, you know,
and they'll come up somewhere else. Like I say, it comes out sideways. You know, just when you think it's safe to go back into the water, they say, but just when you think it's safe and you're in this relationship, if you haven't dealt with your own issues, well, then you project things and you create problems where there might not have been a problem, or you see things from a different perspective because you're looking at it with a different kind of victimized mentality than if you had dealt with this. And you kind of have to peel the onion and really do your work before you're able to be compatible with anyone. And most important is to be compatible with yourself, you know, to be able to be in your skin and to not hate being you when you wake up, because I do remember those days. I will never lie about that. I always speak about how I felt when I was going through it, and I didn't want to be me every day. I woke up and thought, when is this over? I have to be me again today and deal with all of this. It's not easy. Like you said, life is hard, and it's anticipating these curves that are thrown at you and knowing that it doesn't have to stop you, and you certainly don't have to allow them to win by stealing your life and light and soul. So it's continuing to fight and fight the good fight and keep going and go through the delays. It's okay. You're slowed down, but you're going to get there just the same.
Yeah, exactly. So Danielle, you said you're still counseling people. You're still seeing people privately. Can you tell our audience if they live in LA or they want to work with you one-on-one, what you're doing? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I do Skype on schedule. So if you're out of state, I often meet people in treatment at different facilities. So I Skype, I do phone sessions. I see people in person. I maintain my private practice in Hollywood, California. But you can reach me at 310-279-3660, or there's a contact form at DanielleDelaneyCounseling.com, and that's Delaney with an EY. And I'm reachable. I'm happy to do personal and private sessions, and it's just important to me to continue to help people. And then for larger platforms, for public speaking, anything like that, like I said, DelaneJurisProductions.com is how to reach me there, and there's contact forms for no matter what it is. You can reach me. I'm very reachable. I'm very busy, but I always have time for the most important thing in my life, which is counseling others, just helping others get through what I've gone through on a different level. And I still have my sober companioning company. I do a lot of aftercare counseling when people have left inpatient facilities. I'm totally available to help people, and I want to help people. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, you're a one-stop shop for all things healing and helping and healing. Yeah, you really are. Well, I'm so excited to have you know, obviously you back on to talk about your app. I'm so excited to support this book in so many ways. I want everybody to go out and get Danielle's book and contact her. I mean, you are available. You're a connector. You love to be connected to people. And I really appreciate that about you. You're not, you know, I mean, I think that's what lights you up. And I just think it's amazing to see you grow and to see this from the life. I'm really proud of you and can't wait. So everybody go to expectdelaysbook.com. And Danielle just gave her info, but you could go to DanielleDelaneyCounseling.com too. And Delangerous, DelangerouS Productions.com for everything else. Danielle, thank you for being on with me today.
Thank you for having me.
You guys, yeah, that you're listening to Rewired Radio and Radio MD. Thank you all for joining us today, and stay well.